Hey, Rowdies fans, it's Charlie Dennis.
This is Forrest Lasso.
You're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
The Unused Substitutes.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
Get off the bench!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I...
Is there one final touch to be had? Aaron Guillen, Lasso, elevating,
yeah!
And Musana
Good evening, Rowdies family, and welcome to the Unused Substitute Soccer Show. For the next 45 minutes or so, we're going to be talking about what's going on in the world of the Rowdies. We got a fun one tonight because we had a big win. We got a big game coming up this weekend. I even dug and found some extra stats out of the usual ones that I throw out there. So we're gonna go in there and kind of take a look at this game because it's going to be an important one. My name is Matthew Cox. I'm joined by my co-host Ben Wilcox, and let's just get into it because it was a heck of a game. I'm really disappointed that I missed this one. My daughter was feeling ill, and I needed to stay home and help take care of her. But it was a fun one to watch. The Rowdies triumphed 2-1 over Louisville City last Saturday at Al Lang. Cal Jennings with a look. Let's not even like try and disguise this and make it sound like we're clever. Cal Jennings with a man of the match, player of the week performance, scoring both goals. That first goal reminded me of watching college football. He gets on the end of a long pass from Aaron Guillen, 39th minute, and manages to just get like the angle he takes, the speed, gets past the keeper who has come way out of the box. Way off the line for that one, and just taps it into an empty goal. And then in the 61st minute, a nice little bit of buildup ends up in a cross from Jake Arman that he puts over the keeper's head into the far corner. I don't know about how it looked at the stadium, but watching it on TV, it was I was calling it Shades of Steinberger, that early opening goal in the first Eastern Conference final when the Rowdies went on to win the first Eastern Conference championship. That just looked a lot like that goal. Louisville came out in the second half, got one very early in the second half, the equalizer early on in the 46th minute, but then Jennings had the winner in the 61st. And a couple other things to take a look at. Forrest Lasso gets a yellow card. It's his 9th of the season, so I believe one more, and he's facing another, accumulation suspension. I think, isn't it 10 is the next one? Maybe it's more. Maybe it's more. We'll see. J.J. Williams with one in the second half, too late in the second half. The theme continues. We were short staff on the touchline for this game. Connor Antley ends up injured coming off. Aaron Guillen looks like he tweaked a little something. Ben, overall, what were your thoughts on the game?
Just call me Nostradamus, my friend, because I called not only the coaching but the scoreline. Thank you.
I predicted 2-2. I got half right. We'll take that.
To be fair, we were both thinking 2-2. I just had to say something different. So 2-1. Like, it was just a luck of the draw. And come on, who could predict the next coach? I mean, we had nobody else. So who was it going to be? I mean, it was either Pete Calabrese or it was the Kit Man. So we're really running thin there. This game was awesome.
We kind of joked about it on the show last week, and I got a call Saturday from the front office as they were listening to the show to inform me that actually the kit man and the team trainer both have coaching licenses and, you know, in case of emergency, would be available for service in this role. So we're good. But we got the official word was Nicky Laws getting his work visa stuff. And it's not even like, you know, not like something's being straightened out, not like it's some kind of complication or problem. It's just the formal process. They thought it was going to be done in time for him to be back in time at Ao Lang. And it took a couple extra days because, you know, the English use all the extra U's and stuff in their words. And it just took a little bit longer, I guess.
Silly English. So, but yeah, and I think I'm glad you came right out and said it. I mean, Cal Jennings, man of the match. I mean, 100%. That performance was absolutely fantastic by him. And he's been consistently one of our, you know, if not our best player, one of our best players. He's been absolutely electric to watch. I mean, that ball over top from Aaron Guillen was just an absolute dime. I mean, what a gorgeous ball over top. And that first touch by Cal was just absolute, just butter, just beautiful. I mean, he couldn't have, at that first touch couldn't have been any better. I mean, anywhere else, and who knows if he gets just as good of a chance. I mean, that was just so smooth. So, go ahead.
Oh, good. I was going to say, just speaking of calling things, and I don't want to jinx this and put this out there, but the Rowdies have 6 matches left. Cal scored in, what now, 5 in a row? He's had a goal?
Mm-hmm.
If he keeps this up, you know, he's on 14. Yep. If he keeps it up, I think I was making some what I thought possibly pie in the sky predictions early in the season. But after watching him in a couple training sessions, I said Cal Jennings was a 20 goal scorer, and he's going to be very close one way or another. Yeah. I have a feeling.
Yeah, it's absolutely possible. And if you look at the games we have left, I mean, it's absolutely reasonable to think that he could hit those numbers. I mean, anything is absolutely possible.
Yeah, but I mean, no offense to anybody on the schedule, but you know, you've got Hartford and Loudon back to back. Louisville, they're going to have some confidence knowing that they had a good result. Memphis, they're going to want some revenge. They're going to feel like they should have won that game, and I think they probably should have. Yep. And then you've got 2 really, really tough ones coming up this week in San Antonio, and then Eastern Conference leader Pittsburgh.
But you know, and I don't want to jump too far ahead because I have some thoughts on San Antonio, but I mean, this game alone, I mean, you knew this is arguably this is going to be one of the hardest games on our schedule. And the fact that we end off with Louisville too, I think is fantastic because this is a rivalry that has been bred out of just purely great soccer and just gut them out, fight until the very end. You know, whoever's got the ball last, kind of use a football analogy, is going to win the game. And I mean, it's this is exactly what we both predicted it was going to be. I mean, this is going to be a dogfight. And I mean, honestly, I think this game was always going to be tougher than San Antonio. So not to take San Antonio lightly, and I don't want to get too far into that one yet because I do have some thoughts on it. This Louisville game is going to be tougher. And Louisville didn't give us any chances. I mean, I know we kind of already said Cal Jennings was our man of the match. But, I mean, you could just as easily put Connor Sparrow in there for some of the brilliant just goal line stops he made.
Right.
That wasn't a knock on our defense not playing well. I think our defense did really well. I don't think that we didn't show well. I think Louisville had a good offensive plan. I think they played a great defensive plan starting at the top with a high press. I mean, look, they're a good team, and this is what rivalries are all about. It doesn't matter if Louisville was last in the league or if we were last in the league. This is going to be a good game. So I do have some concerns, though. I mean, Connor Antley last year had some ankle issues towards the end of the season. This very much looked like a similar kind of injury that happened to him. Where that was kind of that late tackle. I couldn't tell if it was the drag foot or the tackle foot that caught it, but it definitely caught his ankle. So there's some concern there. I reached out to the club for an official word. I haven't heard anything back yet. I'm hoping to hear back something before the end of the podcast. If not, we'll hear back tomorrow morning, I'm sure. But, you know, I'm a little worried about him. And then Aaron Gann's another one I'm concerned with. The way he pulled up after a dead-on sprint, it was like 3 steps and then instantly pulled up. Very reminiscent of something like a hamstring pull.
Right.
So I really hope it's nothing too serious or it was more him just being an abundance of caution of, hey, this didn't feel right. I'm stopping right now. I mean, that's the same chance that created the goal.
Mm-hmm.
But to be fair, like, he was behind the attacker on the play anyways. Would he have caught him? Maybe, but does it stop the goal from happening? I don't know. I mean, you know, Louisville's a good team. They're going to score goals. It is what it is. But
right.
All in all, this is great. Oh, and another thing I want to point out, on our second goal, Cal Jennings. By the way, thank you, Rowdy's TikTok, for pointing this out. It was a 14-pass sequence that actually created that goal, all the way from the back and the keeper all the way up the field. So that was a really beautiful sequence. And to see it broken
down
like
stuff like that. I love that they're able to, especially how they're using TikTok to like highlight some of this stuff. Like that I've seen some of that stuff lately, and it gets like cross posted to Twitter. Or as I've seen some people refer to it, Twix, which I think is probably the most humorous way to do it. Yeah, it's kind of cool to highlight that stuff, especially for people, let's just say friends of mine, definitely not me, who are still trying to pick up some tips and tricks when it comes to identifying tactics and things like that.
Yeah, and thank you, Rowdy's TikTok, for that, because I certainly didn't catch that. I like to think that I catch those things, but I don't. I mean, I'd have to really kind of really watch a game to break it down a couple times for me to do that. And I just don't have the time for that. Besides, tactics aren't my thing. I'm here to wing it. I mean, you think I do show prep? I don't do show prep, people. I show up with what I remember, and then I pop up a few screens, and I base it off all that. If you think this is any deeper than that, no. That was an awesome sequence.
I've got a screen with this program we're recording on, a screen with the notes, and then just checking Twitter for some stuff here and there. Details. All right, so going back to your point about Louisville, and this is something I posted this I guess Sunday, maybe it was late Saturday night. I think it was Sunday. Ever since the Rowdies have joined USL, like, we've always talked about it at games, like, who is the rival? You know, we've got that derby with Charleston with the treasure chest and the beer. And then there were, Atlanta United 2 was the closest team, but it was a freaking B team. And then, they're trying to get this going with Miami, but it's not there. It's not a rivalry. With Jacksonville coming in, maybe we'll have a true in-state rival at some point.
Which I really want them to be, because I like Jacksonville.
Yeah, I like that trip. It's a lot of fun. I would love to do that again, especially now that we have some friends up there. But going back and looking at the results, ever since the Rowdies have joined USL, the games with Louisville are split almost dead even. Louisville's won 6. The Rowdies have won 5. There's been 1 draw. Every single game, with the exception of a 2-0 win by the Rowdies, like back in like 2017, have been 1-goal results. Yeah. There have been 2 Eastern Conference championships won by Tampa Bay. Louisville's claimed 1 also, and also knocked the Rowdies out in the opening round of the playoffs before. Like that is the rivalry. This is the true rivalry. It's one of the few, especially out of state clubs that send players. I mean, not players, but fans. We get fans here for it. I'm really disappointed in this last weekend because of that, because I've gotten to meet some of them, ones that I've known online, and gotten to meet, at the games, and it's a lot of fun. Like, there has not been a better atmosphere for some games, and then especially the Eastern Conference final at Al Lang may have been like the best atmosphere I've been to. Just the lead up and the parking lot and everything. But yeah, that literally is the rivalry, and it's probably one of the best rivalries in the whole USL, if we're going to be honest, I would say. And that's a game that carried over across multiple coaches, and then there's staff that have a connection to both teams, and you've got former USF players playing for Louisville, and then you've got all kinds of good stuff there. Yeah. Is there anything else you need to say about the game? I mean, we just came right out with the man of the match and everything else.
I mean, that was such a big win. Yeah, man. I mean, look, he commanded that one. It's well deserved. And he got, USL Player of the Week too. Let's mention that. I mean, Cal Jennings is very much that guy. We thought it's who he was going to be coming into the season. He looked strong coming off of last season. We really had high hopes. It was kind of a sputtering start, but not just for him, but for the whole team. Realistically, it was not a great start for all of us. So to see him kind of come on and really get comfortable, to see us not afraid to use that long ball over top, getting really adjusted to what his strengths are. Because that's now, his goals are coming from driving up the middle and putting the ball on frame, and also getting it behind the defense and creating chances. I mean, Cal Jennings is that guy. And I after every goal, I you'll see me put it up. Cal Jennings is inevitable, and he is right now. So I love watching him play. He's been absolutely fantastic. So
yeah, we're seeing him now. I think kind of what we expected to see beginning of the year, and what I think coaches got to see at the beginning of the year. And it just took a little time to adjust. But man, has been doing fantastic.
Yeah.
All right.
But no, I didn't go to this game. Sorry, guys. I told you I was taking Saturday off. It was a mental health day. I needed a day off. I'm so glad I did. I adopted a cat. Life is good. So you know what? It was a well-earned day off. And sometimes even those hard workers, diehard Rowdies fans like I am, you know I am. I bleed this team. I bled on that field literally and figuratively. But yeah, I took the day off and it was a lot of fun to watch on TV. So I'm happy for the people that are in the stands to be able to watch. That's a great game to – if that was anybody's first game, that will not be their last game.
Oh, I hate missing games like that, but I'm glad we still are, you know, crank one of those out every now and then.
Yes, sir.
All right. As far as I know, I don't know if there's any games tonight, but the most recent look at the table, it was a big win for Tampa Bay for two reasons. Number one, it keeps Louisville down in fourth place, 10 points behind Tampa Bay, despite playing the same number of games. But it also keeps the Rowdies stuck right in the middle of Pittsburgh and Charleston, who both won their games as well. So Pittsburgh still in first place, 54 points. Rowdies have a game in hand and are a point behind Pittsburgh and a point ahead of Charleston with a game in hand on both of them. Rowdies with 52, Rowdies 53, Charleston with 52. Louisville City, and like I said, there's a big change between the top three and the rest. You've got Louisville City at 43, Memphis at 42, and Indy at 41. That's your fourth, fifth, and sixth clubs. Birmingham at 39 points. Detroit City, with a nice win over the weekend, gets to 34 points and are currently sitting in the eighth spot. Tulsa, 1 point back at 33, and Miami quite a distance back at 29. So we've been calling this a three club race for that last spot for a little while, and Miami's starting to lag behind there a little bit. They may be out of it. Yeah. And then Loudoun and Hartford still exist. So it looks like it's coming down to Tulsa, Detroit for this eighth seed. We'll see how this goes. And as far as in some team news, we already mentioned Law was out for personal reasons, getting the visa stuff taken care of. Dobson serving a red card suspension. So Eric Wild coached. And one of the things I meant, because, you know, we had mentioned, you know, he didn't really know a whole lot about his background and you know, what he's been doing coaching wise. And got, you know, got some info from inside the mothership that he's actually been really involved tactically in getting the team ready under Neil Collins and now under Nikki Law. He's got a big part in there, and he's got a B license and is getting his A soon. So we may not have seen a lot of him, but he's definitely a key part of the machine.
Absolutely. Yeah, like we were talking about beforehand with Eric. I mean, he when I was still over with the Rowdies, he usually sat up in midfield. There's this raised deck area right at the midfield line, and he would usually sit up there, and that's where he would kind of take his tactical look at the field and really break down, you know, radio down to the coaches as to what to do, what he was seeing. So, yeah, I mean, look, we didn't, you weren't getting a drop off. It was just a different personality, but still a good soccer mind. And I think he proved that. I think he made some right decisions. He made some tough calls, especially the two injuries. I think he made the right substitutions. The team looked good. So, I mean, all in all, I mean, you got to be happy with everything and happy for Eric to get the win. I mean, that's good stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's just another chapter in this rivalry. All right, man, we're moving pretty quick here. We're gonna. The San Antonio thing, I think we're gonna talk a lot about.
Yes, and I have some thoughts on San Antonio. So, but I mean, look, I don't know what more is to say. This was a dogfight of a game. It played out exactly how we predicted. We came out, we keep saying we hope we come out with no injuries. Well, we got two injuries in this game, but in positions where I think we have depth. So right. As much as it hurts to see Antley and Guillen go down, you know, you have Ehrman who can step in. You have Doherty who can step back. You have Dayon who can step over to that right side of the field. And we have some coverage in there. So it's not like we didn't lose a position where we have no backup whatsoever. So that's not to say it's the same thing. You're not replacing like for like. These are two different style of players that are coming on in place of them. But, you know, at least I feel comfortable moving forward with these guys stepping into those roles in their absence. If there's an absence. And by the way, front office just reached back out. No official word. We don't know anything yet. So hopefully we find out something before next game.
And we're not even like live where they can hear us talking right now, but they're still somehow getting the vibes that we're talking about them and getting info to you. All right. So let's talk about, let's get into this preview with the Rowdies in San Antonio. San Antonio is the defending USL Cup champions. They are one of the top teams out in the West. I think Sacramento's still first, but they're second. At this point right now, I believe it's Pittsburgh and both Pittsburgh and Tampa Bay have more points than any club in the East. I think the top club, I mean, in the West, I think the top clubs out there, Sacramento and San Antonio, are both at like 52 or 51 or something like that. All right. San Antonio is 13-5-11 at overall, 13 wins, 5 losses, 11 draws. A lot of those come in lately, though, especially those draws. They are 6-1-7 at home, but they're 0-1-4 in their last 5. They've drawn 4 and lost 1. Their last match was a 1-1 draw at Colorado Springs. In terms of goals, they're led by, I'm going to mangle this, and I apologize in advance, Oluwaseyi with 14, Zuhir with 8, and Bailon and Adeniran with 4. The only, and I'm going to cop to this. The only reason that I get Adeniran right is the guy's brother is a podcast producer for The Ringer. I think it's The Ringer. And so I hear the name all the time, and he talks about his brother who's a soccer player. And I'm like, okay, so I got that name down. I'm good. In terms of assists, Hernandez with 9, Oluwaseyi with 5, Dylan and Zuhir with 3. Goalkeeping wise, Jordan Farr, 59 saves, has kept 8 clean sheets, conceded 27 goals. They had another goalkeeper, I think, make 1 or 2 appearances, but the stats are negligible. I'm not even going to bother getting into it. Here's some other stuff I dug up, and this is where it's going to be. This is where I think we're getting an idea of what this match is going to be like. Some head-to-head stuff, and I mind some of the info in FopMob for this. Goals per match, average goals per match. San Antonio with 1.76 goals per match. They are first in the league, not just the West, but the entire league in that. The Tampa Bay Rowdies, 1.75, second place. The Rowdies are 0.01 goals behind San Antonio. Terms of conceded goals per match. San Antonio with 1. Tampa Bay Rowdies with 1, averaging 1 goal conceded per match. These teams are straight up like a carbon copy of each other. Clean sheets, 8 for each team. Like offensively, defensively, in the goal, this is going to be a tough, tough, tough matchup. Trying to figure out where one team might have an advantage. San Antonio's at home. But also, the Rowdies have been on a great run lately. Nice little bit of form. They had that little kind of uncharacteristic loss to Memphis, coming from ahead to lose, which they typically don't do. San Antonio hasn't won a game in quite a while. These two teams have not faced off since 2017. That match was a 1-1 draw. Ben, what are you looking for? What do you notice about this matchup this weekend?
Well, I mean, all in all, like you said, I think you said it perfectly. San Antonio and us are very evenly matched. I think one of the differences I noticed is that San Antonio was kind of the opposite of us, and they came out very strong beginning of the season. And when they win big. I just was kind of peeking through a lot of 3-4-5, even a 7-0 win against teams. So, yes,
yeah, it's cool. That was against Charleston. Wasn't against like Hartford or Loudoun. That was beating the tar out of Charleston.
Yep. That was a statement kind of game. But again, I mean, they came – some of me feels like they're riding off the coattails of how they started the season. And now because they started off so strong, they're – I don't want to say coasting because they're obviously not. They're winning good games. I haven't watched much of their soccer, but I mean, they are a good team. They're in the position for a reason, right? But I do feel like some of the stats are a bit slanted because if you look at them over, like you said, the last 5 games, not that great a result against even not that great of teams. So it shows me they are absolutely beatable, and we are a good team on the road. So look, San Antonio takes a ton of shots. I mean, that's honestly, if you look, I was checking out the USL page, and I think it was like shots on target, 148 shots on target. That's insanity. I mean, for comparison, we're at 119. And I feel like we shoot on goal quite a bit, but 148, I mean, that's the recipe for success. They take their opportunities. They don't care where they are on the field. They take their chances. We need the defense to show up strong. Having Aaron Guillen out is going to suck for this game. Absolutely. Now, will Aramin step in that position? Will we see if somebody else step back in that role? Yes. Now, do we need them to be a little more conservative? Maybe that's just me being abundantly cautious and want us to be a little more conservative, but I'm sure Yannicki or any other quality coach in general will probably tell you we don't want to change anything at all. Just because Aaron's not in there doesn't mean we change our tactics. But we know damn well they're going to take shots from everyone on that field. Now, I feel good about that. You pointed out that Connor Sparrow is at, what, 0.72 goals against right now? I mean, it's something insane. So I feel good with him in that. I mean, I mean that's 148 shots on target, but, I mean, how many of them are directed to the keeper? How many of them are, you know, are piddlers towards the net? I mean, I don't know. But, I mean, we know that that's what they're going to come at us with. So I definitely think they're vulnerable. I definitely think they're beatable. I think us coming off this Louisville win is a good high for us. Coming in a little, you know, limping in a little bit with two players going down hurts. But it's a great chance for the guys that are on the bench that haven't been starting to really step up in this game. And, you know, I hope they're chomping at the bit because this is a good chance for us to take on a really good team and to set us apart. I mean, right now the top three in the East are very much stating their claim to the number one seed throughout. So if we want to keep that pace, we got to be able to win games like this. You know, I mean, we talked about it last week, like that stat that Steven put out. We have not looked great against top teams in the Eastern now. I realize San Antonio's Western, but this is still a top team. We need to perform, and we haven't had great performances against teams like this where, you know, yes, we beat Louisville. That was a good name, but we need to step it up again this week and play even better. This isn't a rivalry. This is just a game we got to win. So this is going to be tough. I mean, what do you think?
Well, I mean, one thing I think that could possibly help play to the advantage, I haven't seen the updates about it, but San Antonio is playing tonight, and they're not playing a league game. They're playing it's kind of almost like a Champions League kind of thing. They're playing the champion of the Mexican second division, CD Tapatio, tonight. So, you know, they're going to have there's going to be a little bit of a short week for them. You know, unlike USL where you might have like a Wednesday game, this is going to be Tuesday. So they are going to get a little extra day and who knows what kind of lineup they're going to put out there for that. But I would kind of think that that's something they would want to win and put the effort in. So we'll see. We'll see what's going to happen. But, you know, that could have an impact on it. When the teams are this closely matched, I think you kind of have to kind of look for whatever edge you can get. Also, in talking about this last this little streak they've been on where they haven't won a match in their last five. So up until that point, they had won, let's see, one, two, three. They'd won four in a row before this. And then August 19th, they get a 0-0 draw against Monterrey, where San Antonio gets a player red carded. A week later, a 0-0 draw at home against Pittsburgh. And then they go on the road a couple days later, 0-0 draw at Rio Grande Valley, before coming back home and playing on Sunday, September 3rd, losing 2-1 to Tulsa, and then drawing last Saturday 1-1 to Colorado Springs. So not only have they not won a game in their last five, they've only scored two goals total across that stretch. They've only conceded three because you had three straight 0-0 draws. But they, looking at some of their results throughout the year, they just kind of have some weird results. Like, we mentioned they beat Charleston 7-0, but they also lost 1-0 to a shorthanded Miami FC.
Yep.
You know, and they do, looking at here, they had a game, this must have been like a preseason or an exhibition or something for Sunderland, but they played Sunderland back in July. They've got this other game here tonight. So they've got some extra games thrown in here in the last half. I don't know. You know, they made it to the third round of the Open Cup, losing to Nashville. So they get some interesting results sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, when they're on, they're on. I mean, like I said, there's no doubt about it. This is a dangerous team. If you let them start scoring goals, good luck. Because once they get one, they get two, three, four. I mean, they score in bunches. And again, they take their chances. So, you know, this is going to be one of those where I definitely feel this is going to be a very tight game. I don't think this is going to be a high scoring affair. And honestly, if we come out with a tie, I'm not going to be upset in this game. I mean, obviously I want the win because that'll drop us into third, potentially, but, with the game in hand, I'm okay taking the tie in this one if it comes down to it, because we've got some of the big ones coming up behind it. We got to be ready for as well. So,
yeah, I mean,
these are the kind of games. Look, as a player, I feel like you live for these kind of games. I mean, here you are in the final stretch, your final five games, you know, you want to be the best team going in. You want to be at your best going into the playoffs. Well, here's your chance to prove that. And, it, you know, they don't care that we have two players that just went down that are starters. They don't care about any of that stuff. So we shouldn't either. We should care about the fact that we feel that we are strong enough with whatever 11 we put out there that we can beat this team. And I feel that we can. You know, it's just, this is going to be a dogfight as well. This is going to be a tough team.
It's going to be, there's going to be some similarities to the Louisville game, because you're not going to get a ton of chances and you're going to have to make them count when you do get them. Cal Jennings getting a deep touchdown pass from Aaron Guillen made that chance count. You know, getting that little that 14 pass set up to convert the winning goal. Again, taking the chances, making them happen. Yeah, looking at the way these teams are matched up, and it's one of those, you know, they might be in a rough stretch and we might be doing pretty good right now. I fully expected them to be at their best. And then, you know, like you said, it doesn't matter who's injured. It matters who's playing. It doesn't matter who's on the touchline, who isn't on the touchline. It doesn't matter who is. So whoever is, you know, it's just next man up all over the place these days. And that's the way it's got to be. So, but yeah, it would be great to win this. This is a marquee game. This is the last game we have against Western Conference. It's last chance to get a result against some of the top teams, you know, teams we might face in the USL Cup final if we are able to get back there this year. You know, we had that game against Sacramento earlier that we drew. This would be a big confidence boost. But yeah, we've got Memphis coming to town the week after that. You don't want to lose that game. You've got Hartford and Loudoun. You got a trip to Hartford on a midweek, and then you got back home against Loudoun. That's a game where, you know, the Rowdies don't need to pad their goal difference stat. They're still top goal difference in the East, and I think they're top two in the league right now overall. But there's a chance to, you know, you can maybe do some rotation. You can maybe get some guys some rest. You can get some guys some time that haven't had a lot of time heading into the last two games, which are going to be the big ones. You've got Pittsburgh, which that might determine who wins the Eastern Conference at that point. Yep. And then you've got to finish up with a trip to Louisville, which could be very significant. At the very least, it's another rivalry game to close out the season.
Yep. And you got to believe that Louisville's going to want to come in that game and prove that what happened down here was a fluke.
Yeah, they very well could be locked into their playoff spot by that point, because they're not making up, you know, 9 or 10 points in the last couple games. I don't see Charleston falling apart like that. I don't see us falling apart like that. No. You know, they're only 1 point ahead of Memphis for that last home spot for the first round. They don't want to give that up.
Nope.
But even if everything's set, even if we have somehow managed to win the Eastern Conference by that point, and even if they are locked into that four spot, they are going to come out and do everything they can for that.
Yep. Yeah.
And they should. And so should we.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. So, I mean, for this San Antonio game, look, this is going to be a dogfight. I mean, by all means, we're going to have to have, you know, we're going to have our working boots on for this game, because they're not going to give it to us. I mean, they're definitely primed for the beating right now, but that doesn't mean that they're going to give it to us. I mean, I love that Cal's coming in hot. I mean, I like that he's scoring different kind of goals right now. I like that it's not just him over the top. Like I mentioned this to John the other day, John Morrissey, that is, because he brought it up in his pitch about, you know, it's like, is this a new tactic that we have? We're not just playing long balls. It's not like we're playing old school. Hit it long and run under the ball. It's not long ball in that sense. This is more tactical. I mean, last week he gets that goal off the assist from Charlie Dennis. This week he gets it off Aaron Guillen. I mean, but he's also getting balls driving up the middle, scoring them on that. I mean, he looks good right now. And watch out. I mean, if we get JJ coming in here looking big and strong too. I mean, yeah, man. I mean, look, I feel confident with our attack right now. It's just, we need our defense to show up the way they've been showing up. I mean, I think what happened against Memphis was a fluke. I don't think we're going to see it happen again. I predicted they would come bounce back from Memphis, and they absolutely did. But yeah, this San Antonio team that likes to shoot, they're going to shoot, you know. And then you got, you know, after that, like you said, you got Memphis after that, which I got to be honest with you, I'm not as worried about that game. I think the team is hungry for that game. I don't think they're looking past San Antonio. Yep. I think they're looking the chops at that.
I don't either. And look, Memphis here is much different than Memphis away on Memphis's pitch and, you know, Agreed. All that kind of stuff. So, Agreed. Well.
Yeah, I want a chance against them on our field for sure.
Yeah.
But then I'm glad that we've got Hartford and Loudoun after that. Thank God for those two teams. I mean, like, what I don't want to do is take either one lightly because I think we've proven that's not a good idea either.
Right. I mean, we I don't want to say we took them lightly heading into that COVID game because I think a lot of the Hartford players that did play, some of those people are out there trying to make a point and take advantage of an opportunity. And, you know, they had nothing to lose by that point. Their season's already essentially over, even if it's not technically over. And guys are playing for roster spots, you know, for next year or you know, yep. to get noticed by other clubs. Yeah.
But then, by all means, if we play our game, if we play the way we can play, especially against Louisville, we ought to run through both of those teams. And going into Pittsburgh-Louisville, you know, you got to feel pretty good about it. I mean, I'm not saying this is going to be an easy run by any means. We say it every week. We talk about this every week. This is going to be a tough run. This is going to be a tough run. It's going to be a tough run. But I feel good about the setup that we have here, having two games against like a Hartford and a Loudoun and then going to a Pittsburgh and then a Louisville. I'm glad it's set up that way. It could prove to blow up in our face, and I might be completely wrong. In which case, okay. Right. I mean, look, I don't have an ARB license. They're not calling me to coach this team. You know, that's just my feeling. But, I mean, when I feel like we're clicking the way we've been clicking, you know, I'm not afraid of anybody. So,
yeah. At this point, you're – and that was another point when I talked to the front office on Saturday is, yeah, the coach is important. But you got a pretty veteran side with a lot of really good leaders, and they know yep. what they're doing, and they know what they're supposed to be doing. That yep. they're able to you know fill these roles and kind of fill the leadership spot if the coach is out missing. But that's what these guys are doing, and that's why this team has been one of, if not probably the best you know overall performing club in this league the last few years. Most consistent, most just everything. Well, should we go ahead and make our predictions?
Yeah, let's do it. You get to go first right. this time.
You hinted at it, yeah. And I think this is where I'm going to go. I'm going with a 1-1 draw.
Yeah. I mean, 100%. This is going to be a draw. I'd love to say we're going to win this game, but I definitely think this is everything about this game to me says draw, especially away. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that point. I think you take that point. I think you walk out of there feeling pretty good about yourselves. And you come back and you get ready for Memphis, a team that, quite frankly, is not as good as a result says no. they were. So, I mean, I think you put us on a better field. I think you have our head coach back. I think you have all the guys now wanting to make this right. I think you have Forrest Lasso, who really wants to make up for that mistake. Against Memphis, I think the result is much different. So, you know, it sucks to have lost them when we did. But I you know, fine. That's when I did play, obviously never this level. I was never good enough to play this level. But in the meager time that I did play at the levels that I did, I loved having a chance to come back against teams like this because I didn't need to be encouraged. I didn't need to be fired up. I was ready to light a team up if I was given the chance, especially. You know, what was this, 1, 2, 3 games later? Yeah. Like, game on. I remember how I felt at the end of that game. So, yeah man, this is going to be fun. I mean, like I said, it's a 1-1 game. I'm totally in agreement with you here. I think you take that point, you run. I think you come back. You got Memphis at home. Hopefully. Do we know? I mean, Nicky's back, yes? Do we think he's back?
You should be. I don't know. Haven't heard anything, but I would assume if they had planned on him being back last weekend and, you know, it took an extra day or two, I would assume he's back by now.
Right. I would think so too. Like, I haven't heard
We'll find out at some point tomorrow once we post this and, or whenever it gets posted and we get a text or a call,
yeah, exactly.
from our informants. All right. So the only thing I was going to mention, I was talking to you about this, something else that could make that Memphis game kind of fun. I know some people have done this before. I haven't had a chance to yet, and I'm really thinking about doing it. A Rays Rowdies doubleheader on September 23rd. The Rays are hosting the Blue Jays, what I think is the last home series of the regular season.
It is.
You would know better than me. Yeah, because then they go on to they go to Boston and they go to Toronto to close out the season. But Saturday, September 23rd, Rays and Blue Jays at 4:10 p.m. and then Rowdies, Memphis at 7:30 p.m. So thinking about making that a making a day out of that and seeing how that works.
Do it. There's been a number of people that have done it. I think Zach, for one, it's off the top of my head, has done it. And he loved it. He raved about it. So I know there's a number of people that have done it, man, do it. And by the way, hey, you get discounted tickets through my, go to my social media. You get discounted tickets, guys, come on out, use it. Come on out.
You can grab some food on the way out of the trop and have some food to eat on the way. And just, you know, catch either the Sunrunner or the trolley or something down to Al Lang. And
I think it'd be cool as hell. If I had the chance to go to both games, I would definitely do it. I think it's a lot of fun. I think with the pitch count now and baseball, the game moves a lot faster now. You get out of there in a couple hours, go over, you know, just down the road to Al Lang, go watch a really good soccer game. I mean, to me, that sounds like an awesome day.
Yeah, so, I think that'd be good. Make a day out of it in St. Pete. It could be a lot of fun. I gotta do a little research. Maybe put some plans into this and work on it. All right, Ben. Well, next week we'll be back. We'll be talking about hopefully a positive result, and I'm gonna count. I would even count a draw as a positive result. And you don't want to drop points. You get a draw right in this game, and you know potentially go three back of Pittsburgh, but you still have them coming here. That's a big one. And then you've got the other games tied in there as well. I think we got a good chance. I think we got a good shot still at making this work. So we'll be back next week to talk about this and get ready for the last couple games of the season, last five games. So that being said, I think that's it for tonight. This is one of our shorter ones recently, but you know, it happens that way sometimes.
We got a lot in there. I like it.
Yeah, efficiency. Very efficient. Yes.
That's what we do right
here. Yeah. So have a good time. Go to your watch parties. I think is this RBLR is doing another watch party up in Ybor. Did I see that the club's doing another Colony Grill one in St. Pete? Is it this game or is it Colony
Grill? But I think they are doing another one.
I thought I saw a Colony Grill thing earlier. I could go back.
But anyone who's thinking about going to the RBLR one, go. I have seen so many pictures and lives from that. It looks like such a blast. If it wasn't such a hike for me, and like Tampa's not that far of a hike, it's really not. It's just, I just have to commit to going to Tampa, and I just don't want to do that. Call me lazy or I don't know, whatever. I'm a homebody now, okay? I've got a new kitten. I'm not trying to get out and go crazy. I like to be home with my little dude, okay? But for those of you that don't have that problem, by all means, go check out the Reveler guys. It looks like fun. They got great drink specials, a lot of good food specials, and they're a good bunch of guys, man. I love those guys. I listen to their podcasts every week. They're a lot of fun. Go support them.
Maybe we need to put together a watch party somewhere sometime, and then I will be down at Shamrock on Saturday. Be a Shamrock too on Friday, but that's another story. We'll talk about that.
Yeah. I like it.
Yep. I do too, hopefully. So I believe I'm gonna go out there on Saturday night, watch that. Because also it's gonna be the Florida Tennessee game. I'm sure they'll have on a screen and me being a Tennessee fan stuck in Florida. Especially while Tennessee looks pretty good this year and Florida maybe not so much. I'm gonna try and watch that one as well. I've been through too many years of I was talking to a friend of mine and you know, living in Florida, I've got tons of Gator fans. My dad was from Knoxville. I remember there was a game. It was the day of my grandfather's funeral. Not my grandfather from Tennessee. He had been gone for a while, but my grandfather from Scotland and then Canada. But it just happened to be the day of Florida Tennessee game. And it, like was like halftime. I think Tennessee was up, and we're like, okay, we're going off to the funeral. And I'm like, well, at least I have this today. At least I have something good today. And I come home to find that they like blew it late in the fourth quarter, and it was just like, oh, okay, fine. So I'm going to take these victories where I can hopefully get them, and go with that. And have, you know, I'm already counting in my head the numbers of listeners who are unhappy at me talking about Florida, Tennessee, because they're all Florida fans. Oh, well,
that's okay. Fan, you're going to probably get your redemption this game. I mean, I love my Gators, but we suck. It is what it is. The only game I care about at this point is Florida State, and I don't want to lose to them, but God
dang it. Man, they look, man. They look like Aaron Guillen and Cal Jennings out there.
Yes, they do, and it sucks.
Very much so.
Stupid.
Yeah, and honestly, as much as I want to win this one, I always want to win the Tennessee-Alabama game. And Bama's looking a little.
They're looking beatable.
Looking beatable.
But you know what? Hey, I know this has kind of gone off the rails a bit here, but let me tell you what. One of my favorite away games back when in the Tebow era was always at Tennessee, because that stadium, that atmosphere is insane. I would love to go to a game there. What is it? Something like 100,000 fans or whatever?
Yeah. Yeah. I would love to. So, and I'll tell you some more off air because it kind of ties into my Friday stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. I've never actually been to a game there. My dad went to Tennessee for like a year before he dropped out and joined the Marines and went to the Korean War. Yeah, but it's right there on the banks of the river, and they have the Vol Navy that pulls up and tailgates kind of right there and goes, oh, I would love. However, I have pet Smokey, the dog.
Nice.
The actual, not the character, but the actual dog. A buddy of mine used to, I don't think he still does anymore, but he used to had a side gig as he was like security for the replay booth on the field at Raymond James. Mm-hmm. So there was an Outback Bowl there that Tennessee was playing Penn State, and he knew I was a big Tennessee fan. So he says, hey, I get you a spot doing something. And I ended up being the big ESPN crane cameras to go up and down the sidelines. I was the guy walking in front of it saying, get out of the way so they don't get run over. And I got the spot on the Tennessee sideline, and got to pet Smokey. Would have been really cool if the cheerleading coach had texted me the picture she took of me with Smokey that she promised, but you know that never happened. Oh well.
Oh well. But the experience is real. You had it. It happened.
Oh yeah, it was a lot of fun. All right. Well, let's wrap it up. Let's get out of here and get ready to have some fun this weekend. Pick a watch party. Go have some fun, and we'll be back next week to talk about the game. See you all later. Come on, you rowdies.
Come on, you rowdies.
The rowdies run here, the rowdies run there, they kick the ball around. The rowdies run here, the rowdies run there.